Gold 92.5.
Driving the Gold Coast home. The Rush Hour with Luke Bradnam and Margot Parker.
It's great to be here wherever I am. I always love it when I'm here. If I've never been here before, it's great to be back. I've been on the road doing comedy now for 10 years, so bear with me while I plaster on a fake smile and plow through this one more time.
Heyo, everybody. What is happening? Here we go. Luke and Margot with you after a big weekend.
Good to be back on a Monday.
Hey, I know who's not saying that.
Who?
Bill Shorten, for starters. Clive Palmer.
He'd be out of a job.
The dude.
Geez, he's spent some money, hasn't he?
Clive Palmer.
Clive Palmer. That was a waste.
How's Clive Palmer spent $60 million, didn't win one seat? Not one seat. I don't care if he's worth $400 billion or whatever he said.
I've got $4,000 million. I've got $500 million in the bank today.
It's $440 you've got in the bank now, Clive. Mate, you just spent $60 million on nothing.
What will he do now?
He spent $60 million that he may as well have just thrown a big party with.
How did Pauline Hanson fare?
I think she went all right. Brixie, did she get a Senate seat? Or she was?
She might have got one Senate seat, I think.
Right.
Yeah, apart from no House of Representative seats or anything like that.
Despite your best efforts, Margot, she missed out. Margot was handing out pamphlets for One Nation.
I saw you, Margot.
You were standing there.
I did like that she got a bit gutsy and passionate, and she was really standing up for what she believes in. I like that.
I turned up to my polling booth.
I like a woman with conviction.
I turned up to my polling booth and Margot had her face painted in an Australian flag and she was saying, if you don't love it, leave it. In no uncertain terms. The F word was getting bandied about like she was a sailor. It was quite atrocious considering there were children about, but anyway.
I had one of those posters with Deb Knight on it with a big, cross through it, like, no deal.
Yeah.
Stuff you, Deb Knight.
Hey, I didn't have a bloody sausage sizzle at
no sausage.
My poll? No, nothing at all.
That's slack. But we were just talking about this. Is it because... What did you say? About it being a heavy liberal.
Moncrief is the safest Liberal Party seat in the country. And so nobody cares less about us because
they don't have to try hard.
We all vote LNP.
There's nothing to prove.
You don't have to chuck. They're like, don't chuck a sausage sizzle on for the voters from Moncrief. You know they're going to vote for us anyway. And so no one gives us anything.
Slack.
They're slackers. I didn't vote for the LNP.
The Labor Party should have had a sausage sizzle there because you did say you'd be swayed by a sausage.
Not for the ALP. It'd take more than that, Margot. I voted them last. I'll tell you exactly what I did. I voted the ALP dead last because I can't stand, what's his name?
Bill Shorten.
Bill Shorten. He is as soft as rotted fruit. I'm so stoked he's not our Prime Minister.
You can't have a short man running the country.
He's just such a nerd. And I hated that little catchphrase they had. Oh, a fair go for Australia. You're like, you know that he's a nerd that's never used fair go in his actual language ever.
Who had the ads that called someone shifty?
That was Clive Palmer having a go at Bill Shorten.
Bill Shorten, yeah.
Don't let Shifty run Australia.
I loved that.
Well, neither of them are running it. Shifty or bloody Clive Palmer.
ScoMo walked it in.
Anyway, we'll cover off on the election for you. The dude that made the costly error for sports bet is going to join us. Margot's been in a fight with her girlfriends over the weekend and run into Margot Robbie. She'll tell us her Margot Robbie story.
I got a really nice phone call over the weekend from one Mark Boris.
Oh, how about this? Mark Boris from Celebrity Apprentice rang Margot over
tight.
The weekend.
We're good mates.
And
we're
you're going to hear the hilarity that is that call and a whole heap more on The Catch Up, which starts for you right now.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast with Luke Bradnam and Margot Parker.
Just want to say right from the outset here, there's no spoilers with regards to Game of Thrones on our show. You will not hear a spoiler, mostly because neither Margot or I have seen the final episode.
I'm annoyed by it already though, even though it has, it's only just gone to air today. Well, I just mentioned before I was on a girls' weekend away and a couple of the girls left early so that they could be home in time to watch Game of Thrones.
Well, it started at
11 o'clock.
Yeah, 11 o'clock today, so a lot of people were racking off. Can I just say what's happening around the corridors here at Gold 92.5? There are some people who've seen it and they're walking around here a little bit full of themselves.
There was an announcement over the speaker from our general manager saying, if you've watched Game of Thrones, please talk about it quietly amongst yourselves because then don't ruin it for everybody else that hasn't watched it yet.
Oh, that makes sense because I was just out in the bullpen, which is where everyone hangs out here at Gold 92.5. And Matt, who is in promotions, Matt's a bit of a character, real loudmouth. He's waltzing around the office and he sees Rod, the general manager. And Matt goes up to Rod and real loudly goes, "How's that final scene from Game of Thrones?" Wow. And then Rod just scuffles off and walks off.
Yeah.
And then Matt turns to me and goes, "I haven't even watched it. I'm just staring him up." And so, like, if you...
People take it so seriously.
Well, I'm looking forward to watching it tonight. So if you've had people rack off from your weekend early...
Yeah, girls left so that they could go and watch it. I'm like, just tape it. And they're like, no, I need to watch it live. I need to make sure that I don't get any spoilers or see anything on social media or nobody says anything.
Well, producer Jeremy has seen it. He's not going to give us any spoilers. But, no. Mate, you're a bit of a, you know, you're almost like a class monitor here at Gold 92.5. To the best of your knowledge, has anybody taken the day off here at Gold 92.5 so that they can watch the show today?
I don't think they have. One of the guys, we walked in, Brixie and I walked in before, and he said, "Please do not say a word, because as soon as I finish here, I'm going home to watch it."
Right.
But no one here that I've seen...
No one took the day off.
No one's taken the day off.
Foxtel in their workplace. Like, are they all sitting around having Game of Thrones...
Watching it.
...final episode parties?
Mm.
I know some uni students that are at my gym, and they are not going to uni today. They are sitting there watching Game of Thrones.
That's the future of our great country.
I didn't realise it. Like, I've never seen an episode of it. I didn't realise how much all of a sudden it's become such a big thing. But people are saying, like, I've spent 9-10 years of my life watching this. There's 8 seasons or whatever, and this is the final one.
Imagine if ScoMo, like, he wins the election and he does that great speech where he talks about how he's going to work tirelessly for Australia and Australians, and it starts right here, right now. Then the next day, like yesterday, he was at the footy watching Cronulla play. Imagine if he took today off to watch Game of Thrones as well. Work on the nation starts on Tuesday.
I got to work from home today.
Hey, let's open the phones up. So if you're in a workplace and you reckon someone's chucked a sickie today, or maybe you chucked a sickie...
Are there that many people out there watching it?
It's massive, Margo. It's literally the biggest TV show in the world.
Okay.
Like, you know how you've got your Kardashian clan that you watch and you're all into?
Yeah.
That's how people are into Game of Thrones.
I just don't get it, that all the medieval and the sci-fi.
Well, in fairness, you haven't seen it, so no. you might be speaking a little ignorantly. But anyway, 13 27 10 is our number here at Gold 92.5. If you chucked a sickie today, or you went to great lengths to go and watch the show, like Margo's
friend. Like leaving a girls' weekend.
Yeah, and what did they have to
drop? Like, seriously, just tape it and watch it now or later when you get home.
Yeah, would it be that much drama?
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast with Luke Bradnam and Margo Parker.
Who knew a meme on social media, Luke, could bring down a house of women on a girls' weekend away?
Okay, now we're getting into it. Margo had a fight on the weekend. All of her girlfriends had a fight at a big girls' weekend away.
Yeah, so it was a great weekend. You know, it was fun and relaxing. Went to the beach. We ate cheese platters, drank wine, had lots of really great conversations.
Looked for Hemsworths.
We looked for Hemsworths. We found a Robbie. We danced the night away, had a boogie. And we just enjoyed each other's company. It was a really, really nice weekend. But there was a moment amongst the weekend where it wasn't so pleasant. And
how many girls were
it
there?
All came down to a meme. There was 10 of us.
Right, okay.
It's 10 of us. And over the course of a day, I feel that there was like a series of events that went down that led to one of the girls in the group posting a meme to her social media. A couple of the girls in the group saw said meme and reacted to it and felt as though it was aimed at them. Well, whether it was aimed at them or not, they felt in that moment that it was directed at them. We are here on a girls' weekend. Why are you posting that?
Can
it
I
must
ask
have
what,
something to do with us.
Can I ask what the meme is?
Well, it's like a quote, you know, and it was a quote about, you know, if you're my friend, you say things to my face and don't, you know, talk about me behind my back kind of thing.
It's
you
one
know?
Of those people posting...
Well, we talked about this last week.
Cryptic messages on Facebook. Why doesn't she, the person that posted it, say what she really wants to say? Because she's actually being very hypocritical.
She clearly felt uncomfortable, and she felt like potentially it was her against the rest, and, you know, this was her way of reacting to a situation. But it could not have divided and conquered this girls' weekend more heavily and severely.
Did you, when you read the meme, did you at all think, oh, it's directed at me?
No. No, you knew not at all. I'm perfect, Luke, of course, you know, as we know. But I did confront her about it. And I just said, look, I saw it. Is everything okay? What's going on? And she said, no, I'm not okay, you know. And she was just feeling a little bit left out. And, you know, that can happen in big groups of women, and we're all really big personalities, you know, and everybody, you know, we're very direct, we're very comfortable with each other, we've been spending a lot of time together for a period of, you know, of years, and so we just say what we think, and, you know...
Well, she doesn't. She puts a cryptic meme on Facebook or whatever.
Yeah, but we are all, you know, like, if we see something or, you know, someone says something that we don't like, we pull it up in the moment, and she didn't feel comfortable doing that. So I spent an hour and a half in the bathroom mediating a situation. And there were tears and all I could think about was we're late for our dinner booking because we'd sent the rest of the girls on their way. Off you go.
Oh, what a drama.
You go play. We'll be there in a minute. We'll sort this out. It's okay. It needs to be addressed. Let's just do it.
What a drama.
But it really, I then was late. I was like, I just want a cocktail. Get me out of here.
Get out of this.
And we all just wanted a cocktail. We all just wanted to have a good time. But unfortunately, it's one of those things. It's like a pimple. It keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger until it finally bursts. And this was the moment that it burst. And unfortunately, it was bad timing. And ideally, it would have been nice had it not happened. But, you know, nothing a couple of cocktails and a bit of a boogie to some R&B music that won't fix it.
I've never been more grateful to be on South Stradbroke Island in my life than I was this weekend.
Men and women are just so different, aren't they? Men are such simple creatures. Why are women, why are we so complicated?
You know the difference? Honestly, if I was on a boys' weekend away, because actually, just funnily enough, this weekend I was in a group text message with mates about an upcoming boys' weekend, and ours sounds a lot different to what yours was going on. But the difference is if someone posted something cryptic on Facebook or Instagram, none of us would see it because we'd actually be talking to each other.
Yeah.
Right? We'd only just be catching up with it now. Brixie, imagine what Margot and her girlfriends are going to be like next year when they enter high school.
Oh.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast with Luke Bradnam and Margot Parker.
If you think that Bill Shorten and the Labor Party had a bad weekend, spare a thought for Sportsbet. Holy geez, mate, what's going on? Those poor guys, they were being good blokes, Margo. They paid out on the election win prior to the election.
$1.3 million, Luke.
Well, I heard it might have even been more. They're so sure it was going to be a Labor Party victory, they paid out. It's cost them millions of dollars, and Rich Hammerston is there from Sportsbet. Hammerston, did I get your name right, Rich?
Yes, Hammerston, that's right. And I might not be from Sportsbet for much longer. I've been too afraid to head to the office today. It was our brainchild from our communications team. We said, look, this is a no-brainer. 70% of the cash so far has been on Labor. The polls are all pointing to Labor. Surely they can't get this one wrong. So we thought, well, let's just give the pubs their cash early. It's not going to hurt us at all. And sure enough, we are licking our wounds.
What happened, mate? Look, talk to us Saturday night when the polls start, when they were closed and the results started coming in. How early did you guys go, oh, man, we've stuffed up here big time?
Well, look, at about 5:40, so 20 minutes before the polls closed, the coalition went out to $9. Labor came into $1.06. We thought, oh, this is beautiful here. And people started to load up on the coalition at this time at $9. We thought, oh, that's all right. It's, you know, there's no chance. By 7 o'clock that night, so this is literally 80 minutes after that point, the coalition were favourite, and we just went, oh, dear. And that is just when it was real squeaky bum. You start looking at the book to see how much money we're in the hole for, and it just got worse and worse and worse as the day went out.
And Margot quoted 1.3. I think that's the figure that's been bandied about. Is that the actual figure? Because someone was saying at the gym this morning how they'd know. I wouldn't have any idea, but they said it was even higher. What was the actual figure? Do you know?
Yeah, well, so we paid that 1.3 early, but what actually happened was, and this is where they're very cheeky, the punters, and very smart. A lot of them that got paid out early, they then reinvested their Labor winnings into the coalition.
So
it turns out now, I don't have a final figure because, quite frankly, I don't even want to know, but it's probably about what we paid out was probably three times the 1.3.
I'm just reading here, it says more than $5 million to election punters.
Oh, dear.
That's a hard day at the job, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what we paid out. We didn't lose that because of, we did take money on Labor after we paid out that sort of negates that a little bit. But yeah, we're certainly in the hole. I would have said at least $3 million.
Mate, you sound upbeat though, I've got to say. Like, honestly, you sound...
He hasn't lost his job yet. He's going into that meeting now.
Yeah, you sound like it's a bit of a joke. Like, is anyone going to get their ass kicked over this, or is it, like, has it been a good PR move in the hole?
No, well, what if you're not, you're not laughing, you're crying. So I'm just trying to be upbeat as possible. There is going to be some hard chats. There'll be a round table tomorrow, but you know what? It's at the end of the day, as long as the punters are happy, that's the main thing. Yes, there'll be some, there's going to be some budget cuts. I think the email's already gone around that the heating can only go on for 2 hours a day now in the office.
Hey, and so, what was the biggest, when the coalition got out to $9, did anyone make an absolute mozza on the coalition?
No, there wasn't any massive bets, but there was just a lot of them. I think we only took about 26,000 bets on the coalition overall, but 20,000 of those were now out at odds. So we only took 6,000 once they'd come in as favourites. So that's where the big loss was. No big bets, just everyone sort of just put little, because they're at $9, you just put $10 here, $15 here, you get a nice little return. But when 30,000 people do that, it starts to hit you.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us.
Phil Shorten might not be the only one losing his job this election.
No. We hope you survive, mate. You deserve to. You sound like a bloody good bloke and you're doing the right thing by the punters. All the best, mate. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast with Luke Bradnam and Marco Parker.
Before we play the secret sound and get you to call through, Margo, you've been teasing us about your weekend. You were down in Byron Bay with the girls. You had a big fight and all that sort of stuff. But you just casually dropped... She dropped a bit of a name for us earlier in the show. Just very casual that you were hanging out with Margot Robbie on Saturday night in Byron Bay.
Well, I kind of didn't really think anything of it because it was sort of, you know, a passing moment. But, you know, like... I'm not really a Margot Robbie fan, so I kind of wasn't all...
So, I mean, we're in for one Margot in this town. You get going, Robbie.
At least I spell it correctly.
Right. I spell mine the French way, not the Bogan way. On your way, Robbie.
Hey. But we were at this... So we're at the Byron Beach Hotel and we're there having a couple of drinks and dancing, having a good time. And I ran into somebody I knew. He worked there. He said, oh, did you see Margot Robbie's here? And I was like, no, where? And he's like, she's in town for a wedding. And I said, well, I knew that, but I didn't know that she was here where
we
are.
How did you know she was in town for a wedding?
Well, because I had heard that she was in Byron for a wedding.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And anyway, so he's like, yeah, there she is over there. And I was like, oh yeah, she's cute. She's only tiny. She's about like, she'd be able to come up to my shoulder, I reckon.
So she's small in stature.
Yeah, small in stature, but she was, you know, fresh and she looked nice and pretty. And
can I ask you, because
she was having a good time, she was dancing, let her hair down, she looked comfortable in her friendship circle.
Were people fawning all over her?
No, not really.
They were just letting her be cool.
No, it was super casual. You know, Byron's kind of got that really laid back. It's kind of a bit of a different vibe. I saw, I don't know his name, what's his real name? Russell Coit.
Oh, yeah.
He was there too.
Russell Coit and Glenn Margot Robbins. Were Russell Coit and Margot Robbie together?
Or no.
Well,
I saw him, Glenn Robbins, I saw him earlier in the night when I was picking up Thai food. Mm-hmm. He was at the restaurant next door and I walked past him and I sort of noticed him, but I didn't sort of like, I didn't want to bring attention to the fact that I noticed him. So anyway, I saw him twice. And then the next night, I saw Margot.
And so when Margot Robbie is at Byron Bay, you're telling me people aren't getting all excited and getting selfies?
No, I feel like everyone was being really respectful and just allowing her to have fun and let her hair down and just be herself. And she's relatively unassuming. Like, had she not been pointed out to me...
You wouldn't have known
it was her. I wouldn't have known it was her.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And can I ask you, because the only reason I ask this is I'm going back 20 years ago when Pamela Anderson was Pamela Anderson. Now, at this stage 20 years ago, people would have said Pamela Anderson. If you'd have stopped 100 people in the street and asked them who's the best sort in the world, you know, at least 30 of them would have said Pamela Anderson.
Yeah, it was that era of Pamela Anderson, Carmen Electra.
But it was that era. I'm at a place in LA, in Hollywood, and a bar, and Pamela Anderson was there. And much the same as Margot Robbie, it was sort of you're like, oh, God, it's Pamela Anderson. In that particular restaurant, as beautiful as Pamela Anderson was, there was probably 10 girls that were even better sorts than Pamela. Yeah. Now, were there better sorts than Margot Robbie at the Byron Bay Hotel, or was Margot Robbie clearly the best-looking girl there?
Including myself?
Other than you.
Other than me.
Other than you, Margot.
Well, outside of me, yes, there were definitely better looking girls.
Isn't
there.
That amazing?
Yeah.
And yet,
yeah, I mean, she's really very natural, and, you know, she's sort of got that really girl next door. Well, she's, I don't want to say average, but she's not, like, I wouldn't, she's not
she's
striking.
Stunning. She's
pretty.
Stunning.
I wouldn't say she's stunning. She's pretty.
She's stunning.
She's
pretty. Come on,
and
Margo.
She's very naturally beautiful. But there were other girls there that I would say are more striking. But well, you and I have very different tastes
that's
in women.
Right. That's right.
You like a blonde, I'm a dark haired girl.
There you go.
Kind of girl.
Well, I can't believe, forget that Margot didn't get a selfie with Margot Robbie. I can't believe Margot Robbie didn't get a selfie with you.
Well, she did, Luke. No.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast with Luke Bradnam and Margo Parker.
Well, the election's done and dusted, obviously, but, you know, right up to the very last moment, there was campaigning going on left, right and centre. We all thought that the election campaign ads had to stop, I think, on the Thursday night at midnight, but people were getting text messages.
I got an actual text message on Saturday.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, well, you got a phone call on Saturday too.
I got a couple of phone calls.
Here's what happened, okay? So who knows why, but Mark Burris, who is the dude that is our boss on Celebrity Apprentice, Mark Burris, I guess, was somehow sending out phone messages to people on Saturday morning. In fact, I think he was doing it Friday and Saturday, where he was just ringing random Australians and you got a phone message from Mark Burris. Hey, you haven't got the phone message, do you, Brixie?
Yeah, I do, Luke.
Have a listen. This is the phone message that you would have got from Mark Burris.
Hi, this is Mark Burris calling, and I'm from Sydney, and I'm sorry you missed my call. But I've got a message for you. What we don't need after this Saturday's election is a government that brings further pressure onto property prices in Australia by eliminating negative gearing and changing the capital gains tax.
So he bangs on and on about, I don't know, capital gains tax. So I guess he didn't want Labor to win.
Yeah.
And so one of the people work here at Gold got that message, and when we were like, oh, what can we do with it? And we were like, I know. Let's have Mark Burris call Margo Parker, who's on a girls' weekend down in Byron Bay. Now, Margo, from your end...
Sounds very similar to a phone call I received, actually, Luke.
Yes, does it?
Away.
Did you... What's going through your mind? Because we cut up the sound bites and we call you as Mark Burris.
Yeah, well...
At first,
I didn't know... I was just in town, in Byron. We were walking around the streets, shopping and having a coffee. And I received this phone call and I couldn't understand at first because it was a bit noisy. So I was like, who is... Well, and then he said, it's Mark Burris. And I was like, I think I know that person.
Well,
like,
Margo,
he's famous. Why is he calling me?
Don't explain it. We've got it on tape. Here's Mark Burris calling Margo in Byron Bay.
Hello.
Hi, this is Mark Burris calling, and I'm from Sydney.
Sorry, who?
Hi, this is Mark Burris calling, and I'm from Sydney.
Mark Burris, hello.
I've got a message for you.
Okay.
My view is this. If Labor wins, if they bring in negative gearing changes and the capital gains tax changes, house prices will fall. They'll continue to fall at a very rapid rate. And what's worse is our kids are going to have to pay more rent because investors are going to have to put the rent up to recoup the losses they would normally get as a tax deduction.
Okay, I don't really know what you're talking about.
What we don't need after this Saturday's election is a government that brings further pressure onto property prices in Australia by eliminating negative gearing and changing the capital gains tax regime for property.
Yeah, okay, well, that's understandable, but, like, why are you calling me?
So, this Saturday, when you're voting, please think very carefully. Consider who you vote for because it could affect the future of us and our children.
What? Okay, right.
Anyway, I hope to talk to you one day. See you later.
Hello.
Thanks very much.
Bye.
I got to get back to Margot Robbie. Bye. Oh, good on you, Margot. Good on you. I like the way he has a whole conversation with her, and then at the end he goes, I hope to talk to you one day. You just were. You
I hope to talk to you too, Mark.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast with Luke Bradnam and Margo Parker.